Base Nisan, we're holding in some Kuf Yud Gimel Halacha Ches, and we're going to Kuf Yud Gimel Halacha Dalet. So we're discussing when it comes to baking matzah Erev Pesach. These are the famous Erev Pesach matzahs. I mentioned this already, and the Kitzur calls it Mehadrim. The Bi Halacha, if you look at Chofetz Chaim, tries to figure out why is it that if it's something actually from the Rishonim, seems to be something so important to do, and maybe some hold that it's Mashmah from Rashi that this is the way to fulfill the obligation Rashi or the Shita Sarosh, meaning there's Rishon hold you should do it. So why don't we do it? Why do most of the people don't do it? So interesting. I saw even Chabad also the Shulchan Aruch says you should do it, and only B'shas HaTzrach you shouldn't. And if you look in the Bi'ur Halacha, it seems to be that it was based on the fact that it was very difficult. There were times where it was just simply impossible or extremely, extremely expensive. Today, it's much more plausible to be able to set up this and train people. But you really, on the other hand, have to be very careful because one of the reasons why they actually don't do it, and this is what the Bi'ur Halacha quotes also from one of the Achronim, is because it's very, you have to be so careful because after the 6 hour, which is when it's done, once it becomes chametz, you can't be mevatel it anymore. It's a chas v'shalom. Person could be over by roi v'al matzah because he can't sell it and he can't be mafkir it anymore. It's not his to be mafkir. So he could be over by roi v'al matzah. And that's why one has to definitely know what you're doing. And in fact, the Poskim say, Piskatrivas writes to hold that before you start, when you're doing the kneading of the dough, if you're part of such a chabur, to say that whatever crumbs that's going to come from this kneading is going to fall on the floor, etc., is going to be batel. And at that point, you could still make it ownerless. Okay. The kids also mentions this already when it comes to the pirurim and any of the dough that gets stuck to the utensils. A person is being mevatel, mafkiret, and it's not just the owner of the house, that everyone should be doing so. The water also that you're rinsing the utensils, you should pour in a place where there's a slant, meaning to say that it's a slopy area and it's not going to gather and end up staying in the house and becoming chametz. So this is practical things to make sure that the water is swept. In the old days, it's brought down and so that they used to step on it and make sure that it doesn't become chametz. You have to also make sure it doesn't end up on your shoe. That will definitely not make your wife happy coming home with chametz on your shoe. So maybe it's a good idea to take off your shoes before you walk in. And now we start. Siman Kuf Yudal, one of the most intricate and interesting historical transitions that selling of chametz took place over the years. Meaning initially used to be your neighbor was a non-Jew and you have chametz, you have a So no matter what, you would give it to him, you'd and say, "This is yours. I'm giving this to you." And maybe after Pesach, I'll buy it back from you. You'll give back to me, or you would sell it to him. Then it became much more complicated. First of all, to sell, you have to know exactly which acquisitions to use. Number two, people have a lot of so much chametz that it's expensive, like schnapps. You're not going to be able to transfer it to someone else's house. So if you just have one box of Tam Tams, get rid of it. But if you have valuable chametz, that's when you should do the sale. But since the sale is complicated, so today the custom is to do it through the rabbi. You empower the rabbi, you tell the rabbi that you want him to rent out the areas that you possess chametz there to the non-Jew, and you do what's called a kinyan, and you sign. And there's many discussions if the signature is ma'akev, not ma'akev. You have to signature. You don't have to think there's a famous truth from the Divrei Malkiel, Chelek Dal, that's very interesting, that goes through a lot of the details. That is essentially the custom, and Tshuvas HaNagas also points out that you should pay the rabbi because it's actually some you're actually hiring him to do something for you, so and empowering him, hiring him. So it's definitely kedai to do that too. Okay, now when it comes to the kitzur, so the kitzur really introduces this whole discussion that chametz that is in the rishus and ownership of a person over Pesach is over and every single moment about that chametz is also banal forever. And even if it's mevatel. So there's a discussion also in the Bi'ur Halacha, what happens if a person did do everything right and then he ends up finding chametz in, I don't know, downstairs in the basement. So there are places to be lenient, at least when it's what's called hana, meaning to sell it. So there's a big discussion we'll get to about chametz of Pesach in stores that end up not abusing and not really selling or selling chametz while they had sold a claim they sold the chametz to certain stores that do that. So that too, one should ask a shayla. In general, it's important to know the chametz Shavuot Pesach is only in the Rabbanon, meaning it's less grave than during Pesach itself. So in regard to that, there's more leniencies, which Im Yirtzeh Hashem will discuss. Okay, so essentially, Mechiras Chametz, the Kitzur says, make sure that people understand it's not a joke. It's a real sale. And in fact, one of the best ways of explaining it is actually it's like shares that you're selling to the non-Jew. The non-Jew really owns it, and he's able to sell it back for a higher price. In fact, some person said that you should make sure that he's you're paying buying back a little bit of a higher price. The idea is that because we don't know exactly which acquisition is the one that works in non-Jew, that's why they do about six or seven acquisitions. The rabbi does it, and he uses usually three people, and it's a Beis Din, and it's a beautiful process. I always enjoy doing it. We do it in shul with our junior, who I think loves and looks forward to this investment that he's going to make some money off. And one of the main methodologies is really renting the room or the area where the chametz is. Many times, what happens is that you're not renting the whole room because you need the right of way, or you have things that you're storing in that room. So one of the methods that the rabbi does also is that he speaks to and gets permission from the non-Jew. The non-Jew himself also actually technically has to need right of way in order to get to his chametz. And it used to be that the key was handed over, and the non-Jew was in possession of the key of the house, of the room, wherever the chametz was stored, so he could go and enjoy it if he'd like to. He'd have to ask to be it would have to be assessed how much he drank. In order that if he's gonna sell everything back, he's gonna have to pay for that. But today it's usually you don't give the keys, you give the address, you give your phone number, but it's actually a much better way to give the key or to at least give it to the rabbi. Okay, there's also a document that's written. That's one of the methodologies, and everything is described in the document besides the fact that you go over with a non-Jew everything by heart to make sure that he understands exactly that any possession of chametz that a Jew is, that the rabbi is representing of the Jewish people that are coming to him to ask him to get rid of the chametz is going to be in his possession. And that means anything from the 5 grains and even things that maybe they ended up not putting in that, putting a sign that says that this is chametz, all that is included in the sale. Now, here's an interesting Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, and everyone seems to argue with the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. Kiddush Shulchan Aruch says after you sell, make the sale, and you're worried that the buyer is going to go and maybe have a party or something, you're allowed to put some type of lock. So everyone says, how can you put a type of lock? Then you're not really making it a real sale. But I saw already a pshat that no, that the our custom is not to put any locks and stuff like that. We want to make it as real and plausible of a sale. But really, a simple understanding is that we just want to make sure if he's going to go and eat, then we know exactly what he's eating. So this way, we'll be able to make a proper assessment. In the document itself, it actually says that we're going to make a proper assessment with based on the experts. So really, everything is al pi halacha, and especially the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, of course. There's an interesting Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Chabad, and I usually incorporate each year. It's an interesting concept that the Baal HaTanya felt that the sale is not a sale when there's a down payment that's being paid by the non-Jew and he's not giving all the money. And therefore, what he likes to do is called an Orev Kablan, which is basically another Jew guaranteeing the sale. This is a very interesting concept, and not for now to discuss, but something to think about, because there's a concept called Reitz Bikim, if someone wants the Chametz to stay around, that's a big shaila that maybe you consider that you own it. And that would be, by the way, applied to, let's say you have a special Chametz that you don't really want to sell, and you would be really upset if you ended up eating it. That's a problem, according to some opinions. Meaning you really have to be willing that if he decides to drink your, I don't know, your favorite Jack Daniels or whatever schnapps you want, you're going to be totally okay with that. That makes it a real sale. Have a beautiful day.